Good morning, everyone. Happy Thursday morning and welcome to SASS, the Screen, Air and Stage Show. You are with your regular host, Nick Angus, and the lovely Hannah Shouter.
It is good to be back. I apologise. I wasn't here last week. Unfortunately, she came down with some tonsillitis.
But which I don't love.
We don't love that. But luckily, Nick handled the show really well with our special guest.
Harry, yeah. It was a really, really good episode where we got to talk about the complexities and intricacies of the fairy tale genre. So we went a little bit below the surface and, you know, a bit below kind of the general idea that revolves around fairy tale, which was really cool.
Very cool. So if you're like me and you unfortunately missed that episode, then you can go and check it out as podcast on our podcast page on omni.com and also on Spotify under SASS Podcast, which is really cool. We love us a good Spotify page. But until then, welcome to today's show. We've got another really interesting theme. This season's all about really weird, obscure themes in the entertainment industry. Nick, what's our theme today?
What is our theme today? Look, I say complex and compelling a lot, but I think this one really, really stands out as one because what we're going to be talking about today really diversifies in how it can be interpreted and how it can convey meaning. So our theme for today is survival.
So, survival in the days.
That is a bit of a segue to an upcoming song, but I think the theme of survival is going to be really interesting because it's going to relate to the literal, but also the perceived. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays into different entertainment pieces and how it's remained so prominent as a theme, because I think when people think of the theme as a whole, they think, oh, yeah, I can think of, you know, one of our pieces we'll be talking about today is Man vs. Wild, that type of survival. But we're really going to play it into other entertainment pieces and show that it is evident quite prominently.
Yeah, it's very cool. But before we get into our first song break, I want to do a real quick, did we survive the week?
Oh.
We want to give a big shout.
Wait, where's the hand clap or something like that?
We love that. We want to give a big shout out to all uni students out there. Well done. You've started the semester. I mean, you're still starting it. The week's not over yet.
A big week. I tell you what, this first week of March is massive. Always chaotic.
No, massive, massive week. But don't worry, we're still here. So, Nick, did you see any interesting pieces of entertainment this week?
It's funny you say that, Hannah, because I was lucky enough early in the week to go see the Oscar-winning film Green Book.
Ooh.
So this was, you know, obviously a lot of anticipation about it. It won at the Golden Globes. It now has won Best Film for Oscars, and it was really, really, you know, a lot of hype around it. And I think it's always quite dangerous because you've got all these awards back behind it and you're like, okay, my anticipation and my expectations are really, really high. But let me just say they were fulfilled really, really nicely. It was a really heartwarming film. A lot of humour dotted throughout, which was, you know, I think it really, really lifts any film. And the acting was phenomenal. So I think, look, that's a very general overview, but I think it's that type of film that you just really have to go see and enjoy to really take away a message and really, really believe that it is good. I think if I was to go through the synopsis now and go through everything that I liked, we'll be here for ages. So I think it's something that, yeah, it's a really, really interesting film, and I think you'll walk out with a different different perspective, but also a really, really nice, heartwarming feeling.
Nice.
How about you, Hannah?
It's good to hear that also, like, a good review, because there has been a bit of controversy around this movie winning, you know, best movie.
Yeah.
So this week I went to see King of Thieves at Chadstone Hoyt Cinema. We do love the Chadstone Hoyt Cinemas. Anyone out there that goes to Chadstone, great cinemas, really comfortable chairs. Anyway, not the one. But King of Thieves, I think, was originally released as part of the British Film Festival, or it was sort of the main Hollywood movie of the British Film Festival, and now it's still playing in cinemas. Look, I could also, if I was to really pull it apart, I'd love to do it in a future show. I think, you know, we'd be here a long time. It was very, very interesting. Probably half an hour too long, I would say.
It's interesting when films, you can walk out. I think there's a moment when you're in the cinema and you're watching a film and it just hits the moment. You're like, okay, it's over time now.
Yeah, this is a bit
much. It's really interesting, yeah.
It's a little bit too much. The themes explored in the movie were fantastic, and it is based on a true story. So actually learning more about how the story took place, or even like reflecting on it afterwards. I went to see it with my mum. We had a whole discussion about it afterwards. It is really cool.
Yeah.
Like, it is really cool how the movie does shed light, and, you know, no story is scarier than a true story. And I think the movie does the story quite well.
Yes.
But just in terms of maybe dragging on a little bit too long, it was probably a little bit much. But look, until then, what did you do this week? Did you survive the week? Did you see a movie or a new TV show? Let us know. But otherwise, we are going to take a quick break and we'll come back. This is SASS, the Screen, Air and Stage Show. and welcome back to SASS, the Screen Erin Stage Show. This is the show where we talk about everything film, television, and theatre with your regular hosts, Hannah Schauder and Nick Angus. We are having a lovely day today right here in the Sin Studios, and we are looking at the theme survival and pretty much all of the weird sub-definitions what we can look at it.
Absolutely.
So we're going to start off with our screen segment, the S in SASS, and Nick, take us away. We've got two films to analyse today, so I'm pretty excited.
A little bit of SASS to start our film segment today, because we are going to be delving into a genre that Hannah and I aren't particular fans of, as you know out there. That is the horror genre. Look, I think we're solely accustoming to it, but I think at the same time we're like, we'll just leave that to the side. But I think this particular film and this particular subgenre of the genre of horror, it's actually really, really interesting to look at in relation to our theme of survival. So this morning our first film is Scream. Now, as you know, Scream has developed into quite a large franchise with four films released. We're going to be looking at the original 1997 version, but then also how the franchise relates to this theme of survival. As always, first a quick synopsis. Wes Craven reinvented and revitalised the slasher horror genre with this modern horror classic, which manages to be funny, clever and scary, as a fright-masked knife maniac stalks high school students in middle-class suburbia. Craven is happy to provide both tension and self-parody as the body count mounts, but the victims aren't always the ones you'd expect. Look, I think in that, obviously we can already tell that the slasher genre, so this is a subgenre of the horror genre, what it aims to do is it aims to be scary and a parody, so therefore comedic, which is really, really cool because I think, you know, you go to see other horror films and they're pretty much just pure horror and pure, you know, scare. That's the main goal. But with these slasher films, so other ones, Friday the 13th, Halloween, there's also that parody element there.
That's really interesting, kind of bringing that satiric into the horror genre.
Yeah, and I think it works well. You even saw a parody of this slasher genre, which is, you know, scary movie. So that's even going the extra steps. So this is a parody in itself, Scream. So we're going to make a parody of the parody. So it kind of, it gets really, really intense. And I think it's actually quite clever. As much as I don't like horror, I think this idea with horror and parody, it actually is quite a nice combo, an odd combo, but I think it works well.
And I kind of like that, at least with this genre, horror sort of laughing at itself.
Yeah.
It's thinking like, oh, how ridiculous is this? Oh, we're killing people.
Yeah.
It definitely gives a much more lighthearted feel to it and probably makes it easier for people like us to swallow
because
we can't do horror.
I think it does. I think it actually, decreases the kind of capacity to be really, really scared, which is nice. So it kind of decreases the horror element, which
but
is nice.
What does this have to do with our theme?
With our theme. So there's kind of a few little things that we'll pick out on survival. One of the main things is that with these slasher films, so in particular Scream, there's this existing trope of the last girl. And what this means is that the last person standing who ultimately would defeat the baddie, let's say, or the villain or the masked person in this. So this last girl trope has existed with films like Halloween, as I said, with Jamie Lee Curtis, as well as with Friday the 13th. This actually original Scream included Reese Witherspoon, but it was interesting because she was predicted to be the last girl. But no spoilers there, but that obviously didn't happen. That was a big shock to audiences because
that's a bit of sass right there.
It was a big a big name like that. You're like, yep, she's gonna be the last one standing, but it wasn't that. So yeah, that was really interesting. But I think the reason that this has existed with this this subgenre of the slasher is to see who's going to be this last person, who's going to survive, you know, this villain that's going round and, you know, counting, you know, and making and causing for the body count to rise. And what was normally revolving around this idea of the last girl, and I think in some circumstances, I haven't obviously seen all these slasher films for, you know, valid reasons that I'm not a big fan of this genre. I think the last girl trope also applied to being, you know, a last boy as well. So it wasn't just always a girl.
The last but person standing.
The idea of this last girl trope.
Yeah.
The reason why this existed, because what would happen like with films like Friday the 13th is that the body count would rise due to these teenagers behaving sexual misconduct. It was really interesting that that's why these teenagers, that was a lot of the motive for why these teenagers were killed in the first place. And it's really interesting because you look at the time period and it was interesting to see that this was kind of the motive for the killers to be kind of killing off these teenagers for their participation in sexual misconduct. So it was, I explored this last year, this theme and this subgenre last year, and it was really interesting to see kind of how it's developed and kind of what were the, you know, motives behind it. It's not just, you know, your stab and, you know, it's not just your
stab and run.
Stab and run horror. It actually has a little bit more to it and, you know, not, yeah, like it's quite interesting to look behind it. But, yeah, I think survival plays a huge part in that, you know, who's going to be that last person standing and almost who's been the most pure. That's kind of the idea.
Right. What kind of lesson can we take from whoever is the last person?
Yes, exactly right.
Ooh,
I know. And it's interesting because I think, you know, well, Hannah and I, we're not a big fan of these films. So we go, oh, no thanks. Like, we'll go to a next film. But I think, you know, as much as these films are, you know, a parody and they're comedic, I think there's, you know, there is an art to them in that they do evoke so many emotions just in a short viewing time. So that's my little bit on Scream, but this applies to Friday the 13th and Halloween. There was a remake of Halloween just recently last year. So that was really interesting to see that these slashes are still being done today.
Very interesting. So we're going to go to another quick song break and then we're going to come back with my second movie choice. Listen, say a prayer for all the victims out there, but most importantly, say a prayer for me. This is Say a Prayer for Me.
Say
Pray. Bye, Rufus. We'll be back. This is the Screen Air and Sage Show.
And that was Say a Prayer for Me by Rufus DeSole. You're with SAS, the Screen Air and Stage Show, the place that we talk about everything and anything entertainment. You're with your regular hosts, Nick Angus and Hannah Schauder. We are talking about an interesting theme today of the theme of survival. We've just finished talking about Scream before the ad break and the slasher sub-genre. But now it's time to delve into another film and extend this film segment. And Hannah, what is your film choice for today?
So, a mini shout out to my mum because my mum always has these kind of Netflix freakouts where she loves movies and it'll always be where she calls me. She's like, Hannah, you have to watch this movie on Netflix. It's amazing. So this was one of her recommendations. It's 127 hours.
Ooh.
So this was based on Aaron Ralstone and his book, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. You're going to understand what that means when we get to it. And a really well-credited movie, 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it was nominated for Academy Award for Best Picture and Best Actor. So let's get straight into the synopsis. While exploring a remote canyon in Utah, mountaineer and adventurer Aaron Ralston becomes trapped when a boulder falls on his arm. Over the next 5 days, Ralston examines his life and considers his options, leading him to an agonizing choice: to amputate his arm so that he can extradite himself and try and make his way back to civilization, or remain pinned to the canyon wall and likely die.
Mm-hmm.
Makes the book title really freaky, right?
It does.
Between a Rock and a Hard Place.
I know. It's
like,
already
actually,
intense.
Like, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. So I think this movie is a little bit more literal when we talk about survival because it's basically man versus wild, man versus nature, which we're going to touch on a little bit later down the track as well. And this, you know, and Aaron's choice between, is he going to succumb to the forces of nature by being stuck under this rock or is he going to, you know, amputate his arm so that he can make it back? I mean, granted that he did write a book afterwards, I think you sort of know what does happen. But
yes, exactly.
But I think that's not really the point as well. I think it's a very simple plot, I believe. I think it's a very simple plot and hence it has a very simple ending.
Mm.
But I think that is the point.
Yes.
That's the point of the movie. It's a very simple idea, but it is all about man's battle, not just with nature, but also with himself as well. You know, it says in the plot that he reviews his life's choices to come to that point. And so he's not only battling this rock that's on his arm.
Mm.
Oh my God, that would really hurt. Not only is he battling this boulder, he's also battling his own conscience, really.
Mm. His own boulders inside his conscience, you could say.
Yeah.
Like, you could even say, like, you know, metaphorically.
Very, symbolically, you could say that the boulder is sort of the weight on his shoulders of this decision of, you know, does he save himself?
Yeah.
To try and
will it pay off? Because it's not an easy decision of, I can do this and then I'll be absolutely fine. You don't
that's
know.
That's right. You know, you've got to amputate your arm. You've got to cut your arm off.
Yeah.
And make it back down the mountain to somehow get back to civilization. So it was a major life risk either way.
Yeah.
And especially because this movie takes place over 5 days as well, which is why obviously it's called 127 hours.
Mm-hmm.
5 days of just agonizing pain. So it's also like survival against time.
Yeah.
Does he stay
race
there?
Race against time.
Yeah, that's right. Does he stay there and die?
I think you brought up a really interesting point before, Hannah, as you said there was a book made about this after the film. Before the film. And I think, you know, a lot of audiences would have gone in to see the film and they would have known the outcome. And I think it's really interesting to see how, you know, filmmakers, they still make a film, you know, captivating, even though everyone knows what happens.
Mm.
I think, you know, because most of the time you go into a film, you don't know what's going to happen. Or you have an idea of the synopsis, but you don't know the end result. This one you do. So you still go in knowing everything that's going to happen, but you still can walk out and be impacted and be...
Absolutely. No, and this links back as well to, like, the autobiographical genre where, you know, we looked at different autobiographies and true stories, such as Tracks, for example, that explored, you know, a person's journey across the Australian outback. And obviously, you know that she completes this journey.
Yes.
But it's all about going on the journey with her.
Yeah.
And this is very much the same thing where you do have a good idea about how the movie's going to wrap it up, but more just actually enduring the process.
And it would be, I feel like it would be quite a intense movie to sit through. Like, it's not, you know, a comfortable movie by any means.
No, not at all.
So it's quite draining, and
I definitely would have you in suspense for a good chunk of it. Because, first of all, you're waiting for him to get caught on this boulder.
I know, because you know it's going to happen. I think it even relates back to the horror genre, but, you know, it's not a genre that you feel comfortable within. And I think there's an art to these sort of genres, as much as I don't like the horror genre, as we've said quite a lot this morning.
As we've made avidly, really clear.
I think there's an art to them in that they can, you know, captivate and really emotionally impact audiences. But it's interesting because when it doesn't go right, it doesn't go right.
No,
and you can notice it.
Definitely. So. But really happy to see that this movie did perform quite well. And obviously you can go check that out on Netflix or any online streaming websites that you might have a subscription to.
Yes.
But until then, we're going to go to another quick song break before our television segment. In case you don't know, Nick and I are the Wednesday hosts for Sin's television show 1700, which is an Australian music show, and we're having a lot of fun doing it. And yesterday we had the pleasure of interviewing an upcoming, now it's an Australian artist, but she's from New Zealand. We should confirm this.
Yes.
Her name is Megan Sidwell, and we got to hear a couple of performances from her and also interview her. So we thought, let's do her the credit and play one of her songs. This is I Got You, and we'll be right back. This is the Screen Aaron Stage Show. And that was I Got You by Megan Sidwell. Thank you very much for your lovely voice, Megan. It was delightful. This is SAS, the Screen Aaron Stage Show, where we talk about all things entertainment. I'm Hannah Shad. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Nick Angus. That song was I Got You, and now I've got something for you. It's the next segment.
Who was expecting that we would come back with another segment?
Another segue. This is I Got You, another segue. We are looking at the theme of survival in the entertainment industry, in our film, television, and theatre. And we are on to our television segment. And again, we've got some really contrasting shows to talk about. It's really interesting. So the first one, I'm going to cover the first one really quickly because I think we're really doing this just for the sort of the joke of it.
And I think this one we're going to go to the very much literal you know, the literal version of survival. What does survival mean?
Pretty much. So our first show is Man vs. Wild, also known as Born Survivor, Bear Grylls, and Ultimate Survivor.
Oh!
Bear Grylls.
Step back.
Seasoned adventurer and survivalist Bear Grylls deliberately strands himself in remote inhospitable locales and makes his way back to civilization to provide in-depth advice for travelers who may find themselves lost on what was expected to be a routine hike or trip. Some of the things Grylls does includes climbing cliffs, parachuting from helicopters, and running through a forest fire. Creepy crawlies are also frequently part of Grylls' diet. In addition to showcasing his survival skills, Grylls shares with viewers tales of adventurers stranded or killed in the wilderness. So
it's very much Nick's that literal version of survival.
Literally. Like
in
survival.
With Mother Nature.
Now, Nick, I know you have some sass with this show.
Look, I think the main sass I have with this show is that I don't know what sort of sentiment it's trying to evoke. Is it actually trying to be something serious to show how you can survive in the wild? Or is it going back to that idea of a parody?
And being like, that's my thing as well.
I could never really tell when I was watching it. It kind of was jarring, I found, because it was kind of like, I don't know whether it's trying to be funny or whether it's been serious.
Yes.
So I was laughing, but then I'm like, maybe not that I shouldn't be laughing, but maybe I should be taking it more seriously. It was really interesting.
Yes, because the intention of the show is to provide travellers with those tips. But then you've got Bear Grylls climbing cliffs and parachuting from helicopters.
Like, I don't want to say that no one's going to end up in this position, because we've just looked at 127 hours. It can happen.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of just like, you know, he's going like, to all these extreme lengths, and it's just like,
to just like, is it like to a completely lesson isolate himself just to get back to civilization. You have that moment of But would anyone actually willingly put themselves in that position?
Look, everyone needs a hobby, let's say that. But I think at the end of the day, it's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting thing to really explore. Like, it must just be something that he loves. And I think you can actually see his passion in these TV episodes. I guess so.
If you don't know who Bear Grylls is, I'll give a really quick example. His real name is actually Edward Michael Grylls, but his stage name is Bear Grylls. He's a British former SAS serviceman, survival instructor, and honorary lieutenant colonel. And outside his military career, an adventurer, writer, television presenter, and businessman, and obviously is wildly known for the television series. It went from 2006 to 2011.
It's a solid season. A solid couple of seasons, I should say. Yeah, really good.
No, definitely. And Grylls was also appointed as the youngest ever chief scout of the United Kingdom and overseas territories at age 35.
Mm.
Which is really cool. So he's now age 44, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was still doing plenty
If he was still trekking through the nature and Mother Nature.
I mean, what do you think of Man vs. Wild? Do you think it's actually a really worthy TV show that we should look into?
I think I must just say one thing to, you know, counterpart the sass I just gave. I think it is very intriguing. You're really encapsulated into it quite quickly because, you know, you're seeing these beautiful landscapes with the harsh Mother Nature and, you know, the wild and what it takes. So I think it does really reel you in quite quickly.
Yes.
So I must, you know, give credit to that.
Moments where, you know, him doing something really crazy, like climbing a cliff, and it's got you in suspense, and then he eats an insect.
I know. It's like, what's he going to do next?
So it's true. From that point of view, like, you're really, like, surviving the show by trying to not look away, you know, or trying, you know, just get through the whole thing.
Mm.
But, you know, what do you think of the show? Let us know on Facebook, facebook.com/sass, what you think of the show, if you actually think it's worthy, or if you think it sort of just makes a joke out of itself and, you know, it's really just for our entertainment. But now we're going to go to our second television show. What is it, Nick?
We are going from the wilderness to the Hamptons. We are going to our TV series of Revenge. Now, this finished a couple of years ago, but I'm actually currently catching up with it at the moment and thought it would be really interesting to talk about with our theme of survival. Wealth, beauty, and status define the people who live in the Hamptons, but one woman seeking revenge could destroy it all. Emily Thorne lived in the Hamptons until an incident ruined her family and their reputation, forcing them out of town. Years later, she has returned to her old neighbourhood, blending in with the citizens and making friends, not letting on that she has lived there before. In an effort to right some of the past wrongs, she plans vengeance on those who wronged her and her family, and she doesn't care at what cost.
Oof.
Now, simply oofed.
Now, last season, we did do a week on Revenge.
Mm.
Now, I'm kind of wondering why we didn't cover this.
Well, it's a good point. I did think of this last season when we did it, but I thought it would be too obvious.
Yes, okay.
And I think it would be a little bit jarring to bring it in today. I think it actually might even suit it better because it's simple. She wants to get revenge on the people who wronged her and her family.
Yes.
And I think you could definitely go into, you know, why the motives behind it, but I was thinking maybe that's a little bit too obvious. Maybe we know that already.
Mm.
So let's jump to the theme of survival and see how that plays into this thing. So, look, I think why this TV series stood out for me in relation to survival is how it goes along the spectrum of survival, from the literal to the perceived.
Mm.
You've got your literal, you've got your, you know, your hometown sweetheart, Jack Porter, and how he is trying to survive with his bar and with his family, you know, barely running on any money, and he's, you know, under constant threat of reconstruction. He's got his bar at the edge of the pier, so it's in prime location, and it's just one of the storylines is following him and his struggle to pretty much stay, you know, have an upkeep.
So that's really interesting. So this show, you could almost say it's a bit sort of man versus society.
Yeah.
Just man versus life and all those challenges.
Absolutely. So you've got that literal version of how you're surviving your everyday life with your job, with your family upkeep. But then you jump to the more perceived, and this is with the Graysons. So the, you know, the high and almighty family that were at the heart of, you know, ruining Emily Thorne's reputation and her family.
Mm.
And what here, it's about how to survive and be in the limelight still. So how to survive and keep your reputation so high up, you know. They're not the best family. You know, they've done a lot of wrong in the past and that's to maintain their power. But it's interesting to see how they survive and keep that power through the lies they tell, through the deceits they do, and through the wrong things they do. So it's jumping that thing from the literal, you know, to every day, how am I going to survive with this job and have my family upkeep, to how are we going to survive with our power, keep that, and make sure no one stands in front of that.
I love that contrast between the two TV shows, where you've got Man vs. Wild, which is a very sort of deliberate, in isolation, wilderness sort of thing. And this is more just or survival in the city.
It is very much about societal survival, I think. And, you know, how one not only makes a name within a society, but then how one keeps that and survives with that name. Because, you know, once you gain, I think it's linking to power and corruption, a theme we looked at 2 weeks ago. Yes. Once you gain power, there comes a time you say, do I need to get more, or how can I keep this, or am I going to lose it? So it's that constant survival of how can I stay where I want to stay with that.
Yeah, and you could even like see a niche one with the protagonist where it's, you know, survival against her past.
Yes, yeah, and surviving from that and learning from the experiences she had and then turning that into vengeance.
Oh, something tells me that this is going to be a good TV show to continue discussing off air. But for now, we're going to go to a song break with Something Tells Me.
Segways on point.
We love some segues. So while the song attempts to load, oh no, she's happening. We love it. This is South the Screen Aaron Stage Show, and we'll be right back.
And that was Something Tells Me by Meg Mack. And Something Tells Me we're having a bopping show today.
Oh, we love all of our segues today.
You're with SASS Screen Air and Stage Show with Nick Angus and the lovely Hannah Schauder, the show where we talk about everything and anything in the wide world of entertainment.
So today we've been looking at the theme of survival, and we've so far looked at a lot of really interesting pieces of entertainment in terms of sort of man versus nature or man versus the wild. Aha, man versus wild.
Oh!
Man versus society, man versus himself, really. But we thought, let's take a real quick break from analysing before our theatre segment. We're going to play a really solid game of...
Would you rather?
I love that theme song. It's a really good theme song. So I've got some questions here that are related to like survival and apocalypse. And we're going to see what we would rather do when we have to survive. So... And it was a little bit random, but if there was a zombie apocalypse.
Just casually.
Just a casual zombie apocalypse. We love that. Would you rather be turned into a zombie or watch everyone you love get turned into a zombie?
Hannah, I thought we didn't talk about horror films more than once a week.
No story is scarier than a true story.
Oh, a tough one. Oh, these are such tough questions. I think I would rather be turned into one. I think it would be, obviously you don't know what would happen when you're turned into one, but you'd be constantly in fear about not only seeing people you love and you know turn into one, but oh my God, it could happen to me at any time. So yes. I think it's a bit of a double kind of dojo there, let's say, in that, you know, not only are you fearful of your life about it could happen to you, but you're seeing people you love turn into one. So I'm going to have to say turn into one myself, as unpleasant as that would be. How about you, Hannah?
I love how pleasantly you said that as well. Like, very unpleasant. But I'd probably also say the turn into a zombie, more just because... I don't really want to have to go through the whole watching my family get turned into one.
I mean, every day. Like, it might be fun. Like, you might be like,
I don't know, but I can't join the party.
I know.
This is so fun.
I know.
I want to be part of the club as well, you know. My second question for you, Nick, is would you rather try to survive a global pandemic or a third world war?
Ooh, I really...
That's tricky.
Because that's
a little bit like, would you rather survive against nature or man?
Both are unpredictable. Both you don't know how can evolve and how can impact. For that one, look, my, you know, history knowledge isn't great, so I don't know the extent of, you know, the past wars very well. We did learn about them, obviously, at school, and I know how severe they were. But I think in this case, I would have to go a world war to survive through a world war. I think...
Okay.
Because we also, I remember learning about the Black Plague in school and how that was a pandemic that... went across all of Europe and how quickly it spread. But look, both spread at a rapid rate. And I think this is absolutely tough. But for some reason, I'm going to have to say a world war.
I was going to say global pandemic. But then again, like a sickness you really can't escape. Like it's not like you can hide from an illness.
Yeah.
If your family member gets sick, like that's it. You got to abandon them like bye-bye. Yeah.
I think there's a level of, you know, what's the warning? You know, what's the warnings? Like... does one have a, you know, quicker warning? You know, would you know more that there's war coming to your town, or would you know quicker that there's a pandemic coming into your town? And then how quickly can it spread? It's a really tough one because you kind of don't know how, not only how quickly they could arrive, but then how quickly they can spread. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good question. I mean, it is tricky. Oh, yeah, no, that's really tricky.
I have a question for you, Hannah.
Oof, yes.
So we're going back to the more literal and Mother Nature. Would you... prefer to spend a night out at sea alone or a night out in the depths of the jungle alone?
Oh, no.
Because I think it's really interesting, this one, because I think immediately you go jungle. For some reason, I immediately
I did immediately go jungle.
But then when you think about it... Because,
I don't know, because it's unpredictable because you've got the ocean and the ocean might suddenly start waving about and try to drown you.
Yeah.
But then in the jungle, there could be animals.
Yeah. And it's, you know, really I think, it would be pitch black, obviously, at both. So whether that has a, you know, an effect, it's a really tough one. I often, you know, not often, but sometimes I thought, oh my God, how scary would it be? Because I love the ocean. It's amazing.
Yeah.
How scary would it be to be out there at night?
Like
no one around you. But then I think the jungle, because it's really, really hard to predict.
I think that's still probably would say the jungle.
Yeah.
Just because even in the pitch black, I would prefer solid ground.
Yes.
To water. I think there's nothing scarier than being trapped underwater, but more so being trapped underwater when you can't see anything.
Yeah.
Would be really freaky. So I'm going to say jungle.
I think also the point of, you know, you need nutrition. So
we love that as well. But
like, unless you want to go like fishing while you're just like doggy paddling, like it's kind of that idea.
It's better. All right.
Yes.
That's very interesting. Do you have another question?
That was kind of my big question.
Well, that's a little bit of sass right there. I guess we'll just go to a song break because I'm absolutely heartbroken. I'm just going to go bang my head against a wall now. because of your lack of questions. But you know what? It's fine. We'll just go to a song break and we'll just talk about this afterwards. This is Bang My Head by Sia and we'll be right back. Screen Air and Stage Show. And that was Bang My Head Against the Wall.
We're still
banging our head against the walls from last segment.
We're still livid just about that, how we ended that last segment.
Seriously.
I just was not prepared.
Oh my God, it was not good. So anyway, if you're just tuning in now, welcome. This is Sass, the Screen Air and Stage Show, where we talk all things entertainment, movie, television and theatre with your regular co-hosts, Hannah Schauder and Nick Angus. So we are onto our theatre segment. We're looking at the theme of survival and we've looked at some really interesting sort of niche definitions of what is survival and what do we try and survive against.
Mm.
So we're onto our theatre segment and we are going to be looking at Mean Girls. Now, Nick, I was surprised by this choice.
Yeah, look, I
can
think
you elaborate?
So obviously we've already looked at Heathers and we've looked at this high school setting. And I think in a lot of high schools, you know, there's this idea of survival of the fittest, you know, there's this
survival in the city.
Survival of the fittest. It works. No, there's this idea, you know, there's your cliques, there's your different groups and it's about which clique, you know, kind of not rules the school, but you know that they're kind of at the top of the school. And especially if, you know, you're 1980 to, you know, early 2000, American teen films. This was such a big concept. You know, see, even The Breakfast Club, that was a clear concept of how there were stereotypes and your cliques. And then you go to, you know, Mean Girls and Heathers. So I think Mean Girls, it's a good film to look at and look at survival of the fittest. We're going to be looking at the musical today, which is very, very new musical, just released last in 2017.
Yes, so there is a movie, 2004 movie, same plot line, but we're just looking at the musical. So Mean Girls is a musical with music by Jeff Richmond, lyrics by Neil Benjamin, and a book by Tina Fey. It's based on the 2004 film of the same name, which was written by Fey, and which in turn was inspired by the book Queen Bees and Wannabes by Rosalind Wiseman. Oh, wise man. So I'm going to give a quick synopsis. Teenage Katie Heron was educated in Africa by her scientist parents. When her family moves to the suburbs of Illinois, Katie finally gets to experience public school and gets a quick primer on the cruel tactic laws of popularity that divide her fellow students in tightly knit cliques. She unwittingly finds herself in the good graces of an elite group of cool students dubbed the Plastics. But Katie soon realizes how her shallow group of new friends earned this nickname. Oft.
Oh.
Oft indeed. Now, this is a relatively new musical. It came out in October of 2017 at the National Theatre in Washington and opened on Broadway April 2018 at the August Wilson Theatre. So it's a very new musical.
And I think it is, you know, it's an interesting choice. Obviously, we've seen the musical version of Heathers, and this is very, very similar. But I think it does do justice. Obviously, I haven't had the pleasure to see it yet. It is not in Australia as of yet, but I think it will be coming very, very soon. But even just looking at videos, looking at audience interviews, as well as cast interviews, I think there's a really, really strong vibe behind it. One question I do obviously raise, you know, does it translate well from the original book, obviously, then from the, you know, the very famous film Mean Girls to the stage? And that's going to be something really interesting to address once I'm able to see it, you know, live on stage. But I think it does well. It was nominated for a stack of Tony Awards. Unfortunately, didn't win any, but it, even just to have that presence at the Tony Awards for a stack of nominations means that I think it's on the right path. You are hearing the soundtrack of Mean Girls in the background now. And there's some really, really good bops in there, like a very, you know, upbeat, you know, funk pop music that, you know, exists a lot through, you know, throughout high school and throughout schooling, you know, that, you know, that strong pop music that, you know, used to play at the discos and the school formal. So I think it's really good that they stuck in tune with that.
Yeah.
And then related it to the storyline as well.
Absolutely. I'm just looking at some of the they were nominated for tons of awards, but they've only won a few. I'm just gonna read some of them out. It won the Drama Desk Awards for Outstanding Book of a Musical, which was written by Tina Fey. They won that, which is really interesting as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have talked about this in the past where all those different sort of adaptations where you're sort of going book to movie to musical or book to TV show or movie to TV show or I think we've seen, you know, musical to movie.
We've seen, we're going to be seeing musical to film very soon with Wicked. So that's going to be really
With Wicked, but really also with Muriel's Wedding as well, which is coming soon. And we're going to be going and seeing and reviewing that, which is movie to musical as well. It also, Mean Girls also won the Outer Critics Circle Awards for Outstanding Book of a Musical as well. And then also won the Chita Rivera Awards for Dance and Choreography for Outstanding Ensemble in a Broadway Show.
I know.
Which I really sort of appreciate from that point of view, because I really think that a musical, it is so much about its ensemble as it is about its main characters.
Yes.
Especially with shows like Wicked as well, where, you know, you can have, like, great main characters, but if you really don't have that team to support you in the background, it's not as strong. So I think that's really good. And, this musical also, kind of coming back to the survival theme, also plays it very basic. You know, it's survival
within against... within the school environment.
That's right. Like, survival of society.
Yeah.
But within the high school environment, as you said.
And I think it does... it does really inject lots of, you know, fun influence into it. You know, as much as it is quite, you know, a little bit of a subtly intense storyline, you know, about how to, you know, find your place in high school.
Yes.
And, you know, how to then not go on to graduate and then where that can lead you. I think it does, you know, inject a lot of, you know, fun, jovial and humour as well, which is really, really important, I think, because you never really want to go through, especially a musical experience, and just kind of be drained. There are musicals out there that are very, very draining, but I think they do it. They're renowned for being, you know, so powerful and so emotionally captivating. So I think Mean Girls, it does have that, you know, jovial side to it, which just makes it a little bit more lighthearted. I don't think you're going to walk away with any big messages, obviously, but I think it's still something that's going to make you, you know, just have a bit of fun, have a bit of a dance too, and, yeah, just enjoy it for what it is.
Absolutely. So we're going to go to one more song break before we wrap up the show. This is Brother by Matt Corby.
And that was Brother by Matt Corby, an absolute bop and a half there. You're with Sass, the Screen, Air and Stage Show, with your regular host, Nick Angus and Hannah Shouter.
What a show it's been today.
It's been a show. We've survived the morning.
Oh, we've survived the show.
And we've loved our theme for today, which has been...
survival. I thought it was kind of obvious, but whatever, it's okay. But it's been a really good show. We looked at a whole lot of entertainment pieces for our film. We looked at 127 Hours, that very Man vs. Wild, and also...
Scream.
Also Scream.
I think you've forgotten that because you're like, I don't want to think about horror. I'm done with
it. Scream. It's a little bit
much. It's out of the mind already.
Exactly. So those very sort of natural, like surviving against the elements. Then for television show, we looked at Man vs. Wild. That was really literal. And then also Revenge, which is a little bit more niche, which was really cool. And then we finish up with Mean Girls and sort of survival in that high school setting.
Strong entertainment pieces today. A little bit very of sass strong. On it throughout, which has been, you know, a bit of fun to debate.
Absolutely. We had some good bops as well.
Yeah, so it's been a good show. It's always nice, especially with this season, to really go behind the surface and go interesting themes that you wouldn't normally pick up in an entertainment piece. For example, we looked at Revenge. You know, we could have easily put that with our theme of Revenge last season. But there was a reason why we said no, because we didn't want it to be that obvious. And I think it's nice that we linked it to today's episode and brought up the theme of survival instead.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is all from us today, but we're going to do a whole lot of housekeeping for you. If you want to check out this show and all of our other 30 shows, We're up to 30 now,
we
right?
celebrated our 30th birthday last week.
Wow, that is insane. So if you want to check out this show and our other 30 shows, please head over to omni.com/sass. You can download all of our episodes and podcasts. Please be sure to download it if you're going to listen. That way we know that you're listening. Or if you want a more accessible website, easily go over to Spotify under SASS Podcast. And while you're on the internet, you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/sass, where we post all the links, music, photos of us, really cool promo videos. You should absolutely check those out. They're fantastic. And Nick, are we forgetting anything else?
Look, I think all we're forgetting is a little bit of a promo for what's going to be coming in the next few weeks. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about things that are, you know, on the move and things that are in the process of being evolved. But now we can kind of confirm that there are a few things that are coming up. So our first one is our SASS blog, which is really exciting. So this is going to be an online blog to pretty much accompany and complement the show. So pretty much everything we talk about here is going to be put into written form. And it may be for some of the same entertainment pieces, it might be for completely different. It's going to be updated on a weekly to fortnightly basis, where we just, you know, share our thoughts about some of the entertainment pieces that we have found in the wide world of entertainment.
Yeah, and it will also allow us to elaborate and analyze more deeply than we can in a 1 hour show.
Yes.
So that maybe you can sort of take something away.
Absolutely.
And hopefully go watch that entertainment piece.
And the other thing to promote, as Hannah said before, is our socials, in particular our Instagram account, SASS_show. We're really going to be boosting this in the coming weeks because we think this is a really, really strong platform and we'd love to get the followers up and also the posts and the stories up. So make sure to give that a follow, SASS_show, as well as our Facebook, Facebook.com/sass.
So that was a very smooth outro. So now we're going to finish up the show with Smooth by Santana. Oh. We love another good, lots of smooth segues today. But thank you very much for listening. We will be back with you same time next week, Thursdays at 9 a.m. right here on Sin 90.7. But until then, keep up with your screen, air, and stage. In other words, Nick,
stay sassy. We'll see you all next week.